Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
My new phrase is like, I just want to do it without the fear, right? Because I've already tried it with the fear. And fear is a great tool to tell you, when to slow down and be cautious and stuff like that. But it's also very inconvenient because it robs you of joy.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Human to Human, a space to reimagine self-love, strengthen interpersonal relationships, and peel back the layers of the human experience, one conversation at a time. Brought to you by the Revolt Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey Ike, and I am so excited for you to be here for this episode. This episode's guest is husband, proud dad, and creative, Glenn Henry. Glenn drops gems on what it means to be a man, husband, and father today. As an aspiring parent myself, I'm calling in twins, y'all. It was so exciting talking with Glenn about how understanding his inner child was the perfect guide for connecting with his children, his wife, and his adult self. At this Human to Human family dinner, the kids and the adults are sitting at the same table. As always, I like to start each episode with a few recommendations based on our conversation. This episode's song of the week is Before I Let You Go, the Beyoncé rendition. Respect to Frankie Beverly and Maze. This week's book is You Are Your Best Thing by Tarana Burke and Dr. Brené Brown. And while you're listening, reflect on this question. What is your inner child telling you about your adult life? For all my parents, aspiring parents, former children, current children, and inner child healers, I think that covers everyone. I dedicate this episode to you. Now, let's get Human to Human with Glenn Henry.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Human to Human. I'm super, super excited about today's guest. Hopefully you've already seen him on social, but if you have not seen him through different YouTube channels, through television, through the way he is expressing his love out loud, we hope that you got to experience him here on Human to Human. Mr. Glenn Henry's in the building.
Yo, what's up, y'all? So glad to be here. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you, Stacey.
For sure. For sure. Now, you're the father behind Belief in Fatherhood, but I know that it doesn't just take you. It's a lot more. It's history. It's your wife. It's your beautiful children. It's your passion. It's the commitment to keep, like I said, something I'm just really interested in is, again, living out loud. So I like to take it back before we go forward. So can you tell me a little bit about how you were raised, what your family history looked like, and how that's, poured into who you are now?
Yeah, sure. So I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. My mom and my dad never got married. My dad moved to California when I was like two. My mom raised me pretty much throughout the year. My dad had joint custody where I would visit each summer. And so I got to see two different, very, very different lives where my mom was kind of single mom grinding it out, trying to make the best decisions. But she was 16 when she had me, so it was very difficult for her. And my dad, married his now wife. My sister was born, about 9 months after me. You know what I'm saying? And so they struggled too, but just in a different way. But it was interesting to see how the collection of the family in California differed from, the collection of people and people we leaned on in Baltimore. And so I grew up and my mom, I believe she did the best she could. I believe all of us as parents do the best we can. But I do think that there were some things missing on a regular, which was like having my dad every day. Not having my dad every day, affected me in a way that made me very skeptical about fatherhood and parenting altogether. To me, what I was shown, not necessarily what I was, what I was supposed to see, but what I was shown was that children are to be seen and not heard. They are celebrated when they're entertaining. But most of the time they need to be quiet and out of the way. And so when I would find out later on, at the age of 15, when one of my homies had a baby on the way, it was kind of like, man, it was like we held him a funeral. Like, man, I'm so sorry to hear that. Your life is over. And I don't know what you're going to do, but we'll see you on the other side. You know what I'm saying? Wow. And it was kind of like, he gone now. He got to do grown up things. He got to get a real job, and he's not going to be able to go to college or pursue his dreams. And so this fatherhood and parenting seemed like a death that would happen to many people. And it wasn't until I saw evidence of good fatherhood that made me want to be a dad.
Wow, you really dropped some stuff there. That's good. That's good. And I where did that evidence come from?
It came from a pastor, actually. I was going to this church and I was like, man, I don't know. And kind of on the fence about everybody and everything. And then, this guy, Pat Lynch, he invited me over and I went to his house. He had like six daughters at the time, or five daughters. And you walk into the house and the oldest is caring for the youngest. The second oldest is doing the dishes. And you see it. You see it's like kind of dramatic, but at the same time, it's peaceful. And I was like, oh, like I can do that. You know what I'm saying? Or at least I could create a space where that's possible. Yeah. And so learning, just actually seeing it was enough for me. Right. And seeing it on a consistent basis, because it's a lot of people who would be like, yeah, man, I don't do none of that. My children do this. And that, you know what I'm saying? And they kind of big talk. But then when you really look at what's going on, you realize, nah, you're not. You know what I'm saying? And so to see someone who's actually living what they're talking about was a huge inspiration for me. And I just knew that at that point, I knew how powerful proof was.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. And honestly, that's why you're, again, living out loud, making sure that you show things that are going through with your family, the good, the bad, and the ugly, some of the parts that are hard, some of the parts that are really incredible and joyful, and they come with such a big reward. So I want to circle back to you saying that you feel like your parents did the best they could. Right. Mm-hmm. And as we get older, we get into that point that I appreciate this part, right? Because when I was growing up, and when I'm having arguments with my parents, even now, they'll be like, can't wait for you to have a child. I'm like, hey, what's that about? Stop trying to put that over here, But I get it, right? Because I'm also in the space where I have forgiven them for so much that I didn't realize how hard it was to just raise a child, to bring a child to this world, to really nurture a child, to care for a child. So have you gone, what's been your stages with your forgiveness levels, with your moments of understanding, with your moments of, okay, I see what's missing, and that's why I made a different choice to do something different. But have you had those conversations with your parents?
I think we are heading up that road. I think mm-hmm. they are just now getting to the point. Well, it's different from my mom and my dad, but, these are conversations that are happening as we speak. So these are conversations that are happening as we speak. So stuff I'm still working through. I've been doing the inner work on myself to get the accountability needed to forgive. Mm. I have not yet been able to walk through in full forgiveness. And I want to be very transparent about that, because I don't even know what I'm supposed to forgive. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. You did this. I understand that. But what's harder for me to forgive now, what's harder for me to move past is that, like, well, I had to do what I had to do. And look how you turned out. You're fine. And it's like, it's only by the grace of God and a few interruptions between some suicidal thoughts that I'm here. Because if it was just up to you, I would have off myself. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't have the support that I felt like I needed, and I couldn't talk to you because I wasn't allowed to, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And so when I say that our parents did the best they could. I truly believe that because that's all they've known. You know what I'm saying? And so as I become a father and I'm realizing that I am at the age where I first felt like I was abused, right? Like I'm at that age. I'm not that age. My children are that age and yes. I am the father to that child, right?
Yes.
And so even realizing now how much my children are trying to mold themselves into what it's so much happening. And it's like all the time you're just constantly like processing, right? And you have to interact and act at one moment because this is what parenting is like. All right, so boom, you walk into the house, right? One kid spits on another kid. In that moment, you have to be judge and jury. You know what I'm saying? So who did what? Why? Why are you spitting his face? Well, why you say that to him, man? Well, then and that's why you got water all over your face. Now you look stupid.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
So it's like all that. And then now you're like, now you go to your room and you go over here. And I hope I did that right. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And so at that moment, you're trying to like, you have to execute that perfectly while processing all the stuff that's going on. Because in the way I would love to do it is be like, give me a minute. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to figure out how to deal with this. And then sit. But I'm not always able to do that. You know what I'm saying? I don't have the time to do that because a lot of the swift actions they take and they do, they violate you quick. You know what I'm saying? You have to nip it in the bud fast and say, hey, like this response is because of this. You know what I'm saying? And that doesn't mean, you know, there's like a lot of, it's not a lot of physical touching. There's like this wall plank, there's wall squats and planks and stuff like that. Okay, cool. You love to spit in people's face. Tell me how much you love it 100 times in sentences. You know what I'm saying? And then after that, you're going to do 100 push. You know what I'm saying? Like whatever it is, but that stuff could be traumatizing.
Yeah.
I really don't know. And so while I'm saying that my parents did the best they could is because I'm trying to do the best I can. And even with that, I could still be screwing up.
100%. And that's what I was going to say when you said you got to execute that perfectly. My heart was like, oof, because the truth is I'm trying to reckon with the fact that there is no perfect parenting, right? Okay. Because the moments I get excited about that future for myself, I'm like, while I'm preparing for that future, I mean, I'm in therapy now, right? And I'm analyzing my relationship with my parents. I'm analyzing my relationship with my childhood. And I'm seeing the same sentence of they did the best they could. And I'm seeing where they felt like, hey, for lack of a better phrase, this punishment or this way of parenting you is giving you some kind of moral compass later. But then in some cases, we don't know, right? Just like you just said, like, you know, right now, I think the wall squats are going to work. I think you realize after doing 100 wall squats, you're not going to spin your brother's face anymore. But they could turn out 40 years from now saying, I didn't like how you, my knees, are, you know, whatever. I don't know. It's just like, so even making that choice is really powerful in the moment. And at the same time, you're still analyzing it. So how are you processing while you make the choice, right? So you make the choice, you made the decision of what you feel like the child, you know, however to parent them in that moment. And then what's your processing like after that?
Well, I mean, it's not, and that's the thing, it's not only disciplinary. Sometimes it's in care, right? And so the goals are, right? The reason why you get the discipline is because we have a house culture that we're trying to keep up, right? And so when you affect the house culture, right, you're telling, you're, Uriah, my second oldest, is teaching Anaya and Uzi how to react, right? Mm-hmm. And so when he reacts to his brother and spit in his face, and then Uzi punches him in the balls, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a culture we're creating here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful on how we do that. Now, the goal for the children is that they would respect themselves, one, and then respect each other well. That is like, respect everybody who's a part of the family, because we're all a team here, right? And so when you affect the culture of the home, it could negatively affect how other people feel like they're being cared for. And so the main goal is to protect that at all costs. And so it also is in showing love and care, self-respect, all that stuff too. And so I spend a lot of time cutting hair, clipping toenails and fingernails and clean, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of that, like, and we have really deep conversations during that time. So a lot of times we can get hung up on, oh man, did I do the right thing right there? Or did I mess up? You know what I'm saying? But the truth is, children are really forgiving, right? So they want to forgive you fast, and they want to get over it. And if you give them, if you play the sympathy card, they might learn how to hold grudges a little bit too long. You know what I'm saying? So what I try to do is say, hey, I know I messed up there. I apologize. You know what I'm saying? I'll try not to do that again. I'll try to do something different. I'll figure out a better way to interact with you. However, like, let's move on and move forward, you know, because it's not so much who you are now that I'm focused on, is who you're becoming, right? Who I'm becoming, I'm still trying to be gentle with that person, right? Because the things that I'm good at now are competing against the greatness of me tomorrow, right? And so the child that I'm raising right now, everything I'm trying to teach him, right? These are just fundamentals. This is GE, right? General education. This is fundamentals. Please don't hit somebody when they say something. You know what I'm saying? Like, learn how to control yourself. Let's keep it together. But at the same time, it's like, there's something about you with that passion for injustice that is good, right? And if we can harness that, we can turn that into a superpower. But only thing I can do is give you an opportunity to flex that muscle, right? I won't be able to control it fully because we don't know what it is yet. It's rooted in pain. It's rooted in unfairness and forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? Unforgiveness and stuff like that. And so let's try to figure out how to use this stuff for good. And that's my mission as a father until forever. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah. I love that. And I appreciate you for sharing that. I hear a lot of healing within your inner child as you talk about parenting. And I'd love to kind of address how that process has been, because you just said that your kids are at the ages where you felt hurt. And so now that you are watching yourself as a father, being able to protect them, having capabilities your father didn't have, how is your inner child reacting in this moment and in these experiences?
My inner child, so I'm doing well and also I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, the ways that I am able to protect myself and say, you know what? I know where this relationship is going, right? I know that you haven't worked on yourself. So your childhood is spilling over onto me. Therefore, I can't really tolerate that in my space. So it's really easy for me to cut people out. Oh my gosh, I'm so good at it. It is crazy how good I am. You know what I'm saying? The problem is that I let go too fast, right? And so there's something about my inner child that sees danger and says, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? But there's some part of, like, when you see danger, that's still stuff that's a challenge, right, to get through. And so some of that dangerous stuff that, you know, is challenging, and that stuff should not be avoided. And so I'm trying to protect my inner child. And I'm also trying to challenge my inner child, because I know that all the things that are scary and dangerous are not necessarily bad. Right. And my new phrase is like, I just want to do it without the fear. Right. Yeah. Because I've already tried it with the fear, and fear is a great tool to tell you, you know, when to slow down and be cautious and stuff like that. But it's also very inconvenient because it robs you of joy. You know what I mean? And so for the last couple of things I've been doing, it's kind of like, I know this is scary, dog, but try to do it without the fear, you know? And so that's basically what I've been walking into. And everything I'm doing now is also like showing my kids, like, okay, they know I'm scared of heights. They know I don't like edges, right? So going to the Grand Canyon is not something I'm into, right? And so when we all go as a family and they're like, Dad, aren't you scared of this? Yes, but I'm still here. You know what I'm saying? And so fear is not an excuse, you know? That's what I'm learning now.
You mentioned earlier that kids are to be celebrated when they're entertaining and when they want to express a different version of their shutdown. Now, I really appreciate that you brought that up because I think it's something that I don't know if I'm able to fully admit that that might've happened to me because I'm still working through that, especially when my therapist would bring it up. And she's like, you know, there are probably parts of your authentic self that isn't fully here. And you're now having to meet your authentic self. And I'm like, no, but my parents were great. They were awesome. Like I couldn't handle that for a while. Now it's been 2 years into therapy and I'm able to, you know, talk through some of the things and I realized, oh, I wasn't feeling that and have those conversations with my parents. But for you, have you met some versions of your authentic self that you didn't know were shut down back in childhood?
Yeah, 100%. I think the whole creative industry is like children at play. Right. Like we were all lied to and told that we had to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer, something like that, because that's what everybody wanted us to do. You know what I'm saying? That's what you got to go to college for. And I was like, you guys have lied to me. Like all those little thoughts that I used to push away because they've been distracting me from homework are now the things that pay all the bills. Like all those little like ideas and little funky things that I would create or things I used to draw, like those are all like being celebrated to the max.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper Ludicrous.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Maximum. And I understand that I am born in a certain
era.
Country, whatever. You know what I'm saying? That allows me to do this in the way that I do it. And I've had a very unique experience going from the East Coast to the West Coast. And even like part of the Baltimore, like, yo, this is what we do. This is how we react. We stay out of the way. You know what I'm saying? This really aggressive frontier in order to kind of ward off any like threats, like all that stuff is all new to me. So it's definitely like the confidence, you know, confidence is one of the things that has come back and introduced itself to me in a way that I've always been insecure. You know what I'm saying? I've always been very unsure of myself. And even my employees would be like, look, bro, if you unsure of yourself, how are we supposed to do our job?
Wow. How was that when they called that out?
How you think? Like, it just...
I mean, that's just a real moment, right? Because we entrepreneurs can hear that and they've experienced that. And we're not all walking in entrepreneurship as if we're just perfect and know exactly what's going on. So I'd love for you to just express what was that moment when you hear somebody on your team telling you, hey, I need you to be who you really are so we can be in support of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those, it's like a little gut check. You know, the cool thing about the people around me is that no one's I'm not paying anyone to say like nice words to me. Right. And so they all know that we have a mission. We got a lot of work to do. And you talked about some of the I'm not just here alone. It takes a lot for me to do this, but I also have a great staff of contractors, employees and teams that have supported me to this point and continue to support me. And so a lot of that is like I really do have to be that because the expectation is like, no, we need you to deliver here. You know what I'm saying? Because we have this much to do. You know what I'm saying? And I know you got this much to do. So at least you could be confident about this. You know what I'm saying? And so no one is going to understand what it takes to do what you do, what I do, what it takes to be a father for real. Like, man, if I could like blow up the phones of anybody, it would be like these people who are like telling parents how they should act. Like, that is so irritating to me, because like, especially people who don't have kids. I mean, I know people who have like six cats, but don't have any kids, and they're writing parenting books. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like, really? you should be disqualified. You know what I'm saying? And then like, don't tell me you are a parenting guru and we don't ever see your kids, because how do we know you're telling the truth? You know what I'm saying? Your kids could be bad as hell. Like, we don't know, you know what I'm saying? So like, but so I'm really particular on that thing, because I am confident in my fathering, but I wouldn't dare speak on another person and tell them, hey, you're screwing up here. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's obvious and they're asking for my advice, I'm not going to tell you, hey, you're failing. You know what I mean? But I don't, we all know when we're not doing what we can do. So when I say my dad is doing the best he can, my mom did the best they can, it's up for them to say, I didn't. And that's their own accountability, their own inner child or whatever. But the generation before us, and not to speak on anybody specifically, but the generation before us, they don't really know how to show themselves vulnerable and authentic.
Sure.
Right. Sure. And that's the biggest failure, I think, of that entire generation, is that we didn't know what it was like when they were in pain. We didn't know what it was like when they were struggling through the marriage. We didn't know what it was like when they were broke. We just knew what it was like when they were irritated. We knew the manifestations of their pain. We didn't know their pain. So when we come, when we become 30 and we're sitting there like, what is this? Why am I feeling this way? This is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? We're like, why didn't you tell me it was this hard?
Yes.
And then the worst thing that we do as a culture of people is that we let our young, right, struggle on their own. And we let them think that that's a badge of honor, when we easily could have been like, hey, don't do that. That's going to ruin your marriage. And before you even have a marriage, you know what I'm saying? That's going to ruin your work ethic, you know, before you have a career. And so I started hanging out with men who were generous with their time. And I started hanging out with men who were generous with their perspective. And they were able to say, there's a pothole coming up around that corner. You might want to slow down. You know, when I talk to other men that I'm supposed to be closer with, they would say, like, straight up, they would tell me verbatim, I think you should figure out yourself. And I'm like, that is such a disservice. It's unfair.
Yeah. You know, I want to echo that. And that was really beautifully said, because it is something that I think our generation has done so differently than the generation before us. But I also want to add a bit of, not sadness, but I have a hug for that generation, right? Because I've had a lot of conversations with my parents, and I'm sitting down with them and I'm saying, okay, what's up? What's up with the missing pieces in this story? Why didn't you feel it was necessary to tell me that? And for them to feel like they were protecting me by keeping me from certain levels of pain until they realized, oh, you know, you're in a different generation. It might come sooner or later. It might come differently than it did for us, right? I'm hearing a lot of, you know, I wasn't raised with these type of conversations with my dad or my mom or those different things. I'm saying, wow, you know, because we're all parented based on how we're parented and what we want to overcome or change or whatever we deal with ourselves. And so there's so much to what you just said, because my mind immediately went to the nuance of something so true. And yet knowing that these parents didn't all have the opportunities that I believe our generation will have and hopefully impact the next generation, I'm like, dang, it's like that plus the other thing, right? It's this and that, not either one. And so it's just like, it's really powerful to hear you say that. And I do hope that conversations like this and the work that you do, the work that I do, can impact the younger generation, can say, hey, 30 is not easy. Hey, that thing you thought you needed to do at 25, I think I would just wait, you know, don't skip steps. Cause that's one thing I've been really grateful for. There was nothing I think I've been able to experience earlier than I need to experience it. There's a lot of things. It was like, you don't need that at 22. That is going to be a part of your 32. Right. Let's think about that. So I love that perspective, and I definitely hear you. And at the same time, I'm like, wow, what a hug to that generation, because if they didn't have that, I'm sure it's something they needed.
Yeah, I definitely think that we are better off because we're all irritated. You know what I'm saying? By like, hey, man, why you ain't tell us, man? Why we out man. Here looking, you know, just struggling? You know, but I also think that, like, we have an obligation to tell the ones coming after us, you know? And so with that, for me, it's just kind of like, yeah, this is honorable. This is the right thing to do, even though they probably don't get it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A lot of them are confused by the roles of, you know, these influencers and these people just living everyday life and turning that into a business. But the truth is, like, they lied to us. Like, everybody lied to us. Like, Disney lied to us when they said happily ever after. Like, when the princess meets the prince and they get married, that's the beginning. And that's the hardest part. So, like, all these people who are like, yeah, I want to get married, I want to, like, are you really sure what you're asking for? Not to say that marriage is terrible or anything like that, is great, but you got to understand what you're signing up for. Like, you're literally signing up to put your life on the line, your feelings on the line, your emotion on the line, your health on the line for someone else who's grown. You know what I'm saying? Like, these be grown people, you know what I'm saying?
Grown-ups.
Yeah, and so, like, yo, when you do that for a kid, it's kind of like, oh yeah, I do for them, they can't do for themselves. But you're talking about a grown person. So yeah. You're like, I'm gonna lay it all down for you. And whatever that costs. Wow. And some people just don't know the cost and they expect the benefits without the cost. You know what I'm saying? And so it took my wife years to trust me in certain areas. You know what I'm saying? A ring doesn't get you trust. That's not an equal trade. Time gets you trust. You know what I'm saying? So it takes a little time in order for that trust to grow, even trusting me with the kids. You know what I'm saying? Because she didn't know I was going to be a good dad. Right. Yeah, like we've been growing a lot. So, yeah, I got a lot to say.
All right. So, listen, you just transitioned us beautifully into the marriage part. Nice. Because as you have also expressed how much fatherhood is important to you, you've also expressed how much marriage and how much your relationship with Yvette is really important to you. So I love that you just brought up the cost and benefit. What are some things that people forget when it comes to being really paying that cost?
Here's a bar, man. All right. So when you meet somebody, you're meeting them based on their own comfort, right? Based on their situation, based on.
Hi, everyone. Jazzy Bell here from Woman in Hip Hop Podcast. And if you're a fan of music, then be sure to check out and subscribe to Woman in Hip Hop Podcast, a show that focuses on the many talents and influences from women within the culture. And is brought to you exclusively by Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip hop, powered by creators.
Someone else's protection, possibly based on a safety net, right? So, you know, if you meet somebody, say you meet them at work or whatever, or at a function, and in that function, they are peaceful, they're delightful, they're wonderful and amazing, right? And then you take them out of that function, right? And they're a little bit different, but they're still attractive to you. What happens when you take that same person and you say, all the stuff that you were feeling and all that protection is now going to be my responsibility, right? And then you 6 months into a relationship, a marriage, the bills aren't getting paid well, and you might lose a job, and you're taking away that person's security, right? You're taking away all those initial things. So when people say, oh, you changed. No, I didn't change. The situation changed and I panicked. You know what I'm saying? And so we're learning a lot about, okay, I like you in these circumstances. I don't like you. I like you under this circumstance. You know what I'm saying? And so I've began to see my wife transform into a different person every pregnancy, every season, every new, you know, recollection that she has, every discovery, every. And so you don't. The real bar is that you don't end up with who you married. Right. That's not who you end up with. You may marry one person and then end up with someone totally different. Now, how different they become is up to you guys, right? How much you care and love and foster that relationship. I have completely benefited off of being in a relationship with Yvette. She has transformed me. And so a lot of people, not to say that a lot of people say this, but some people often will look, be like, how do I get a man like that? Or how do I get a woman like that? And it's like, that's not what this is. Right. We invented each other. right? She gave me and I gave her and we became this for each other. It's not for you, right? And so what happens is you meet somebody new and you're like, yo, I think you might be my Yvette or my Glenn, right? And so you end up like getting in a relationship with someone based on work that you haven't put in yet, right? And or you know, you want to get in, you want to take a relationship away, you want to find somebody else's shorty, you know what I'm saying, and benefit off all the work that they did, right? And so there's a lot of give and take with every marriage, and so every relationship, I would say, right? And so I don't necessarily believe that you can come in and be who you were, right? You can't come into a relationship and say, I'm not gonna change, right? The whole point of you being with somebody else is so that you can change, right? And become better. Yvette has made me completely better, you know? I was trash. I wasn't trash. I was recycled. You know what I'm saying? Like I had been through the process, right, of being like complete garbage, and then being like, oh, this is he got a nice foundation here. But Yvette challenged me in ways that nobody ever could, because she would ask me like, "Dang man, where you going at?" I'm like, "Well, I'm going to Bible study real quick." She's like, "Dang man, you really like studying the Bible with your friends, but you don't study with me at all."
Mm. Ah. So can I ask when Yvette, we'll say Yvette particularly, but this is so beautiful that we talk about the changing in a relationship, right? When Yvette is calling you out on certain things, is your original reaction, and we can go back to like the beginning of your marriage or relationship, is she nagging you? Is she confronting you? Is that challenging? Is it a tone? Is it the way she does? Because a big thing about not wanting to change that I hear on the streets is when we approach each other in a way that is not, I wouldn't say even not kind, but it always feels like you're trying to change me, right? And those type of challenges is why people make loud comments about, you don't want to change, you're never going to be able to change your partner. While you're saying so beautifully and honestly that change is a part of the package. So when you're hearing, when you guys were changing each other in the beginning, how did that, how did you hear it? Did you hear it as beautifully as you just said it?
My wife, straight shooter, right? My mom is an assassin. You understand? So my wife holding me accountable and hearing my mom say something, I was already used to being tough, talked to like that, right? So I didn't take offense when my wife would hold me accountable. My wife is not used to her dad talking to her like that, right? So when I talk, not to say that I'm her father or anything like that, but yeah. Right now, I'm the most influential male in her life as her father was, right? So when I hold her accountable, I can't say it the way she talks to me, right? Mm-hmm. The reason you get into a relationship, right, is so that you would change. But you have to want to do that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that, like, the questions my wife asked me was accountable questions, like, why don't you do this? Right. It didn't have an answer. It was rhetorical questions. She just left in the universe. Right. And it would take up so much space. I was like, I can't sit like this. I have to do something and kind of cleanse the air because I can't breathe in this air. She would provide the tension. And so I'm not telling women to make tension. That's not what I'm saying. Right. But I'm saying that's what I needed because I was recycled, an accountable man to a bunch of other men and this one woman who I promised, like, this is my goal. It's like, I'm going to love you well for the rest of my life. That was it. You're right. And so with that being said, I would say that it takes a lot of finessing, you know what I'm saying, to be able to communicate that well. And I don't think everybody can do that, but that's what I got. One of the major questions she asked me was, you know, what's your 5-year plan? And I said, I don't have one. And she said, I trust you with my family and my future, and you don't have 5 years planned out. And rolled over and went to sleep. Now, with that, how was I supposed to sleep? She didn't know what she was doing. But she acted, at that moment was, what do they call it, a linchpin or some, I don't know what they call it. But it's like that moment, it was pivotal. It was like, okay, she's not saying that it's bad that I don't have a plan. She's saying that as her husband and the leader of the family, right, I don't even have a map or direction of where I'm going. So where am I supposed to lead us to? Where are we going? Right? You ever get in a car and have nowhere to go and just drive aimlessly? You mess around, run into somebody's driveway, run into the garage door, you know what I'm saying? Speed over a speed bump and get into a car accident, right? You know that you got to check your surroundings, check your rearview mirror, put your seatbelt on, click in the destination and go. And I didn't have none of that. Mm-hmm. And so what she asked me that question was like, all right, I'm gonna get my butt in the gear. I'm gonna figure out, at least I'm gonna go to another guy and say, my wife asked me this question. I couldn't answer it. I need help, right? And one thing you can't do is be dating somebody who friends is trash. How you dating somebody and all they friends is unaccountable.
Ooh.
And nobody's checking them. That's impossible. Well, cool. When you want to hold him accountable, he's not going to listen to you. And so when my wife doesn't nag me, right? Sometimes she talks and I just be like, that's not working. I told you I was going to do that. It ain't done yet because I haven't had a chance to do it. And that's not working. So I need you to either be patient or not. But I can't rush that right now. You know what I'm saying? And it's also important to remind people the vision. So now when my wife asked me a question, Yvette, right? She was looking for a 5-year plan. I got a plan for the next 50. And I know where we're supposed to be at each month, right? And so the plan is irritating to her now because I'm kind of like, what's your plan? That don't really line up with where we going. Figure it out, though. I'm cool with that. You know what I'm saying? I can't hit her with the, well, you supposed to have 5 years planned out because I'm trusting with my family, my future. Nah, I'm trusting me. I got you. Right. You figure out, you take the time and the space. I want to create a great space for Yvette to thrive. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because it's my responsibility that I thrive. Therapy is important. I wasn't into it. My wife finessed me. I'm in therapy. You know what I'm saying? I have a great therapist. I have a couple great mentors. I have a great group of friends. And on all those levels, I'm accountable. Sometimes I can't share with my friends what the mentors tell me. They just don't get it. You know what I'm saying? But I am definitely accountable to the plan.
Mm. So with over 10 years of marriage, how has the communication changed? Because I really want to continue to highlight the beauty of the fact that you guys change each other. And I'm sure that affected your communication.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like we're not easily offended, as easily offended as we were. Right. Mm-hmm. So when I was a stay at home dad and my wife be like, what'd you do today? And I'd be like, we survived. Don't ask me what I did today. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
Right. And so the conversation now is my wife stays home. Right. You know, I don't ask that. You know what I'm saying? I know I trust my wife with her time. And like, so everything is like, it's really trust and then knowing intention. Right. So our jokes are like very edgy. Right. We have a laugh. We laugh everything off almost, you know? And that's because she knows deep down inside, like, I'm not going anywhere, right? And so that was one of her fears. Like, she had told me before, like, yeah, like, I was more focused on my friendships than on our relationship because I wanted to make sure that if you left me, I had somewhere to land. And I was like, why would you think that? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But that's her inner child. That's not my business. You know what I'm saying? So like I continually have to prove to her that I'm in it for the long haul, no matter the trial or no matter the tribulation, because it keeps changing. Right. You know, these things and events and like these little monsters, they get harder, you know?
Yeah.
It's not ever the same challenge over and over again. It's harder. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. I think we are committed to speaking the same language, even though it's a different dialect.
Yeah.
You understand?
I do. And I really, you know, when you bring up cost and when you bring up those different parts of the relationship that, again, I think are just so much more hidden. You know, we got the nice social media post, and then under that is all the actual stuff. And that leads me to our Honest Gems segment. We have a segment where it's like, we want to drop the honest gems, the honest tools. So one of those first questions is, what's something they really don't tell us about the first year of marriage?
I think, like I said before, you committing to someone at the altar has nothing to do with the trust that needs to be built. You have to earn the trust after the ring.
And that's on both ends.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But men historically don't necessarily, they're not trying to protect anything. They don't, I'm just speaking for myself and a few gentlemen that I know, we don't really need much to get going, right? It's a few things, you know, sex, food, and I don't know. You know what I'm saying? You drop in your three. You know what I'm saying? Not that we are not desiring of more in a relationship. Right. But as far as the bare necessities, like if I'm consistently eating and consistently having sex, I don't really need much else because I can get motivated. You know what I'm saying? By just those two things, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that, and I could be off, somebody else could say something different, but I honestly believe that you have to build trust there. And so what's interesting about the relationship on the other side is that when my wife, I don't feel like she values the things I value, right? So like, you know, at one part in our marriage, sex wasn't a priority for her. You know what I'm saying? But once again, she's healing her inner child. She thinks sex is, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? We'll do it if we have to, but not necessarily. It's a big deal for me. And so, and that season of marriage, I felt, she doesn't trust me. You know what I'm saying? And so that led to a lot of like feelings of like disregard or indifference, you know. You could be here, you could not be here, but you know, I'm fine. You know, that's how I felt, she felt about me. And so I felt uncared for, you know. And so we've done a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
To rebuild that.
What's something they really don't tell us about having your first child?
I think they don't tell us how, they tell us how fast it goes, right? Everyone says, man, they grow up so fast, make sure you, but they don't, even if they tell you that, it's still not accurate because it's like this, you know what I'm saying? And so that newborn baby smell, that newborn baby cry, like all those things you will long for, you know, all the things that used to frustrate you, the way they talk, dad, like it, you will long for those sounds again. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we need to cherish that more for sure.
Mm. And what's something they really don't talk about when it comes to choosing your family first?
Oh man, choosing your family first means not choosing your family of origin.
Elaborate.
That's going to hit hard for some of y'all mama's boys and daddy's girls out there and all that stuff. But you can't, it may be impossible to honor your spouse and honor your parents at the same time. And those boundaries, if not implemented, are going to cause some serious damage. Mm. And I'm speaking from experience.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Wow. I appreciate that so much. And I appreciate that you and Yvette continue to live and that you shared so much that I can tell the experience is there, but on top of that, you are trying to drop those gems for the younger generation. So they really, really know what they're walking into. Because again, I think we're in a space where, and you are one of the influencers that people do watch and pay attention to, but we're in a space where we take in snippets of what it takes to make these dreams come true, these experiences we want, right? And so that last point, I'm like, wow, I didn't see that coming. Oh my God.
No, that's a hard one. That's a really hard one. And I would say that I speak like this because I know we don't got time to waste. I don't got time for you to figure it out. You understand me? Like, I need you to understand that this is a situation that needs to be paid attention to. All the bridges you're building right now and all the ground that you're making with your family, right, may be amazing. But what happens when you marry somebody who doesn't have that connection with their parents and they're having trouble processing how your parents perceive them? Like, it's just so much happening there. And so I would say that I had to tell my wife, like, look, it's impossible for you to honor them and me. Mm. It's just impossible. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is my stance and my boundary, and your boundary is over here. And so that's it. You know what I mean? Your boundary will not affect me. And that's on me and my kids. Right. And so I don't care what's happening. Like, I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm protecting everybody. You know what I'm saying? Even from my people, everybody's getting protected. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said before, the way I could just cut you off like that, right? The stuff I'm trying to heal from, I'm trying to get better at. I'm quick about it in every circumstance, mm-hmm. you know, because I know what's at risk, right? Us letting other people be comfortable and making us uncomfortable and our children uncomfortable shows that our children should not value themselves, right? It's like you should put other people's comforts before yours, you know? And so there's like micro messages in behavior in relationships that I really think we have to kind of unpack a little bit. And so we are definitely learning the hard way. And I'm so glad that like we have a couples therapist and our own therapist and then mentors and all that stuff. Like, we are doing the real work over here, man. And I don't, and anytime I get the opportunity to talk like this, I don't do it often with podcasts, but I love to take it and go deep because I don't talk like this on the program. Mm-hmm. Right. Belief in Fatherhood is no space for this to do that. Mm-hmm. But How Married Are You? Our podcast is coming back. So I'm excited to start that up again.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Can you share where everybody can keep in touch with you, keep in touch with the podcast when it comes back? And thank you for sharing that last point as well.
Yeah, we thank you. Yeah. So Belief Mel, BELEAFMEL on Instagram, and Belief in Fatherhood everywhere else. We coming up on 1 million subscribers on YouTube and got, you know, 2 million on TikTok and all that stuff. And just basically just posting the true authentic story of a father and the perspective that he has. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you can find me, the podcast. I don't know when it's coming back, but I'm hoping by the end of the summer, we have some stuff, summer 2022, by the end of that. We've already started recording here. We're in a new 5,000 square foot building so we can build sets and stuff like that. So we're just getting acclimated to that. And we're grateful. Yeah. We are grateful.
Yeah. Congratulations in advance.
Thank you.
Amazing. You're welcome. And thank you so much for being on the show. I've been debating and I'm going to go with it. I had one question. I was like, I think I have to ask it before I let you go. How do you balance I was like, I'm going to go with it. I got to do it. Because you have been able to, you know, be transparent with me and with the show and with the family. And that's so important. So I think this is important for everyone to hear. How do you balance?
I know what you're going to ask.
No, you don't. You're playing. How do you balance? Stop.
How do I balance putting my kids on camera and that type of stuff?
Oh, no. Wow. I was like, are you right? That's crazy. No.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Let me stop.
Good. You're good. No, no, no. I was going to ask, when you are implementing new, I want to say ideologies and morals to your children while still allowing them to experience this life and having their own ideologies and morals come out of, you know, come from themselves. How do you balance the teaching and the learning with them?
Oh, that's a brilliant question. I've actually never been asked that before, Stacey. Ooh, I don't know. I feel like it would be an injustice for me to try to correct every behavior. Mm. I think that in the long run, I hope that they would be problem solvers of their own. And so my wife and I are really big on teaching our kids how to think, you know, and so letting them sit with the problem and being like, man, I don't know what you should do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have an idea, but I think you could figure it out, you know, and if they want to cry about it, then they can do that. Because, you know, it's just like Uriah in the puzzle. Right. There was a debacle. I told him that the problem was he was fighting with his brother. Both of them had to do a puzzle together in order to be able to watch TV. Uriah decided that he didn't want to watch TV. And I said, well, fine. The whole 2022, you will not watch TV until you do this puzzle. Everybody's online. Oh, my gosh, you're such a horrible father. You did it. Some people are like, oh, man, it's great. Some people are like, yeah, like, why is it about the puzzle? It's about your ego. Da-da-da-da-da-da. No, I told you to do something. You got to do it. You know what I'm saying? How you figure out and how you do it is up to you. Well, his brother realized how annoying it was for him to be in friends. So he started the puzzle again and they worked together and finished it. It took him 2 months to do it, but Uriah went 2 months without watching TV. I sucked. And so the problem solving for me and the learning is just letting them kind of figure it out along the way and just kind of giving them hints. I think we kind of handicap our kids a lot by just trying to give them the cheat sheet and give them everything they want, but it's just not convenient to us. It's not fair for us. Mm-hmm. And so though I do not want to let my children struggle, I do want them to be challenged, you know? And so, because with what we do, they have the potential to literally be millionaires. You know what I'm saying? Because we're already paying them for what they do now. You know what I'm saying? And so they're going to have a lot of stewardship and self-control issues if we don't nip that stuff in the bud now. And so, but all our children are inheriting the crumbs of greatness that we drop, right? And so I'm just really excited to give each child an opportunity. And so if you, I can't wait to go home because I love being around them. But I really am glad that people get to experience it like this. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's really cool. It's cool to be a part of the family because I'm I even get excited, like, oh my gosh, this is my family. This is actually fun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then it's also to give that light to other people and saying, like, look, man, like, life could be like this if you wanted it to, you know?
Glenn Henry, everyone. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I just want to tell you that I'm proud of you and grateful for you and excited for you and for your family and sending you guys so much love, because the love that you're putting into who they're becoming, it's really brilliant and it's beautiful to watch. So thank you.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate you for following through and getting this interview going. And thank you so much to you, your whole team. I appreciate you guys. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks for listening to the Human to Human podcast. Glenn, thank you for reshaping what parenting can look like for everyone. This episode actually really made me smile about the relationship I have reimagined with my parents. Shout out to you, Mom and Dad. We did that. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, leave a review, and while you're at it, share this with someone you love or just someone you like, as long as you share it. Stay connected between episodes and follow us on Instagram at Human to Human with Stacey Ike. I'm your host, Stacey Ike, and remember, curiosity is the pathway to consciousness. So let's take the next step together. This episode was produced by executive producer Stacey Ike, producer Paris McCoy, and associate producers Henrietta Bayemi and Emma Jackson. Audio engineer Brian Schaefer. Theme music Pieces by After the Fall. Music released by Chill Out Records. Post-production audio by the Revolt Podcast Network. And special thanks to our guests, supporters, and the entire team at Human to Human Productions.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.